It's the unknown. The unknown. It's the unknown. The unknown creature.
Beautiful people, good morning and happy 2026. We pray for a year full of blessings, revelation, and transformation. It's your boy, the Unknown Preacher, Alonzo, a.k.a. L.A. And before I get into it, I want to tell you how wonderful you all are and how much we truly appreciate each and every one of you. 2026 will be an amazing year for our ministry, because when you move the jokes, the debates, the open discussions, at the end of the day, this is a ministry. And in 2026 is Jesus first, as always. And it's important to know that reimagining the worship experience will involve a spiritual exploration. I see a book club, a larger investment in street ministries, people like Jazz and Sosa Brown Street Ministry and Kelsey Fenton's Soup for Souls. We're definitely going to see more of that, and definitely putting the spotlight on our dynamic co-hosts, Tatiana, Muna, Bernadette, Kimmery. We're going to do what we do. And all of that right after Jesus. Season 5 is coming, so get ready. We're 131 episodes in. Praise God. Praise God. And we give all the credit to our almighty Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're staying focused, because it's easy to get our eyes off the prize, but Jesus will keep us on point. So I tell you this, listen to God, stand by his word, stay focused, listen to the message, and stay real, y'all. Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands.
Praying to God, cause he's the only way. I'm always open to his word, Circle K. Trouble comes, I don't sweat, it's gonna be okay. Pressure comes from others, but you know I never sway. Yo, I ain't never going back, I will never turn my back. Like I did my ex, fed ex, but the liver tracks. Where you at, it's about your fate. It's not too late, all these haters gonna hate, but they missed the pearly gates. It's your fate, you know that I'm a cool guy. But at the same time, bold is Mordecai. They say happiness comes from getting high. Mr. Brown said it best, the devil is a lie. Dropping hits like Thriller, No Limit, Percy Miller. I'm redeemed by the Supreme, got my only healer.
He got me, just believe it ever see. It's so good to know that he got me. Even in my wrongs, even when I'm weakest, when I'm strong, let me know that he got me. Gotta give him praise, cause he always make a way when no one waited. Let me know that he got me.
Ezra 3:11 talks about God's goodness. Glad that I took it. God is good all the time, and that's what I'm rhyming. Cause when it comes to rhyming, it's all about timing. Sitting in the church, they wanna clap, no denying. Hear that gospel rap, but many churches still ain't crying. You never thought God could love a common man. Psalm 130, all dirty, no one stands. Dropping the mic, winning a fight, bringing the charge, holding the kite. God is coming back like a thief in the night, you can't even sight. or understand what's right. Give me back the mic. Let me make it clear, you ain't hold it right. Serving tracks like I'm work tracks, tracks like I'm work. I'm serving tracks like I'm working Red Lobster. Biscuits full of cheese, I gotta sneeze. I chew, God bless these harmonies.
He got me, even in my wrongs. Even when I'm weak, it's when I'm strong. Let me know that he got me, gotta give him praise. Cause he always make a way with no way to let me know that he got it.
Advance for the attention that you're giving me. I need you quiet like you're listening to the symphony. Still number one to the public, I got enemies. Footprints in the sand, meaning God has always carried me. In the drive-thru, ordering chicken salad. On the radio, a Tasha Cobb ballad. You know I on my playlist. So many crosses that you think my first name is Chris. This brother rocker like a fella full of gas. When you hear stand clear, they mean dash, full of sucker cash. Love you and ignore your past. When this world ends, Jesus' love is all that lasts. Slobber, cause I get so lyrical. Holla, cause God makes miracles. Speak in Spanish, Telemundo, frequently. Am I giving my oar from my alabaster box? CC, whining when a Christian don't greet me. But my Sunday's a Palmer, more than Kiki. Protected by the armor, you can't beat me. God put this together and you know he did it neatly. Giving God the glory cause he's deserving it. More power than star streaming services. All the blessings in my life, he is working it. All the blessings in my life, Jesus working it.
He got me, even in my wrongs. Even when I'm weak, it's when I'm strong. Let me know that he got me, gotta give him praise. Cause he always make a way with no way to let me know that he got.
Father God, this morning we thank you for breath in our lungs, wisdom in our minds, and purpose in our hands. We ask today that you open our hearts to hear, but also, too, we want to understand, not just be inspired, but we want to be transformed. Teach us what it means to live well, to finish strong, and to leave something behind that glorifies you and bless those who come after us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So this week, I took a pretty hard fall and ended up in urgent care, y'all. And the doctor strongly suggested that I go to the ER. And while there, I was thinking about this message, and I'll just say that this is a message that was already tugging on me. So I saw this as confirmation. See, I know every day we hear about tragedies, bad things that happen in the world, sad things that happen in life. However, there is a tragedy that does not make the news. It doesn't trend on social media. It doesn't make the headline. And that tragedy is people dying with everything still inside them. Ideas that were never shared, wisdom that was never passed down, lessons learned the hard way that no one else benefited from, mistakes that could have saved someone else's years of pain. Someone could have avoided heartache, learning from our mistakes. Someone could have made this world much better if they learned from our successes. All that information, all that experience, all of that wisdom buried in the ground. You know, Miles Monroe once said, the wealthiest place in the world is the graveyard, because that is where books never written reside. That is where businesses never started rest. That is where sermons never preached or buried. That is where strategies, systems, and stories disappear forever. But today I want to suggest something even deeper. See, it is not just a tragedy for the individual. Yeah, it's a missed opportunity. It's a tragedy for all of us who could have benefited from this. But most importantly, it is a failure of stewardship. See, this isn't just about mismanagement. It's really about neglecting responsibilities. See, power, resources, influence, we can even put time in this category. All those things were entrusted to us for purposes greater than ourselves. And we let comfort trump accountability. And if you look at history, you'll find that decline was never associated with less talented people or lack of talent. Decline was present because leaders, people with gifts, people with favor, consumed or kept it close to the chest instead of sharing and preparing the next generation. Information isn't just loss. Information, resources, wealth, all of that is stolen from the next generation. We're robbing God and we're robbing our own. See, God never gives wisdom just for consumption. I remember as a teenager reading about King Solomon asking God for wisdom. And I myself prayed for wisdom before I was an adult. But now I understand that it's deeper than that. See, God gives wisdom for circulation. And scripture reminds us in Psalm 139:14 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Y'all heard me say it over and over again. So we have a mind that no human can ever duplicate. AI, despite its advances, cannot compete with the human mind. And wisdom flows from God to us so that we can share it with others. And when wisdom is shared, what an impact. It multiplies. Communities are stronger. Nations are wiser. All in all, we're in a better place. And see, God gave King Solomon wisdom, not for him to hold on to it, but for him to share it so it would benefit generations to come. He wrote Proverbs for a reason. See, it wasn't just writing to be writing. His wisdom allowed him to see that wisdom gains its power from sharing. And here's the truth. We are building for the future, or we should be building for this future, because succession is not retirement. Legacy is not accidental. Passing the torch is not optional. It's biblical. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but keep his commands. What are we hearing? See, Psalm 78 verses 5-7 is about passing faith forward, intentionally teaching the next generation who God is and what God has done. Parents and elders are commanded to teach. Teaching the faith is not optional or outsourced. See, God places the responsibility on families and community, not just priests and institutions. See, Pastor Jones was called to minister, but you were commanded to teach Junior about God. And this faith is meant to be generational. Fathers to children, children to future children. God's design is spiritual inheritance, spiritual inheritance, not spiritual amnesia. See, we have an obligation to set their hope in God. And we do that with trust. We have an obligation not to forget the works of God. So we keep the memory, and we have an obligation to keep his commandments. So we teach them obedience. God commands his people to intentionally teach the next generation so they will trust him, remember his works, and live in obedience, not just knowing facts. And notice the intentionality, not hope they learn, not assume they'll figure it out, not wait until you're gone. Teach, transfer, and train. Teach, transfer, and train. Teach, transfer, and train. Faith was never meant to skip generations. Leadership was never meant to die with the leader. See, some people are not protecting excellence. They are protecting control. And on the human side, it can be fearful. We recognize this. It can be fearful to give up information. When I became a detective, one of the veterans said to me, he said, there are two things you need to know up here. He was talking about the division. And he named two sergeants, the homicide sergeant who I eventually worked for and the violent crime sergeant. And he said, they are the chosen ones. You want something? Get them on your side. And the second thing he said is, find something that you and only you can do, and you become irreplaceable. And I started looking around, and I realized that so many people in our department, not just the criminal investigations division, but so many people in our department specialized in something. And we were at a place where we couldn't afford to remove a lot of people without a huge learning curve. What a vulnerable place to be in. And then there are others who just have control issues, right? It has to be their, it has to be done their way. And let me say this, your way is not the only way. That's something I had to remind myself as well. See, some leaders say, no one can do it like me. But what they really mean is, I don't trust anyone else with what I've built. And some parents say, they'll learn the hard way. But the Bible says wisdom spares people from unnecessary pain. And some elders say, they didn't ask. But the next generation oftentimes will not ask because they don't know what the questions are to ask. You don't know what you don't know. And see, silence is not humility. Silence is waste. And I want to take a moment to talk about Moses. See, Moses is one of the greatest leaders in human history. I think we all will agree on that. He confronts Pharaoh. He parts the Red Sea. He receives the law. He leads millions through the wilderness. And yet, Moses does not enter the promised land. But watch this. The mission does not die with Moses. Why doesn't it die with Moses? Because Moses did not hold on to leadership. He mentored Joshua. He brought him into meetings. He let him see frustration. He let him see prayer. He let him see failure. He laid hands on him publicly. Joshua saw and knew Moses, flaws and all. And Deuteronomy 34:9 says, Joshua's son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. See, Moses understood something that many leaders miss. You don't have to finish the journey to be successful. But you do have to prepare the one who will. You don't have to finish the journey to be successful. but you have to prepare the one who will. Passing the torch does not mean cloning yourself also. It means trusting God enough to let the next generation walk a path that may look different than yours. See, Moses led with a staff, but Joshua led with a sword. And they may not do it your way, but the mission stays the same. Only the methods change. See, we can get possessive. We can do that quickly. We can believe that our system, our path is the way to go. Too often we confuse faithfulness with what we're familiar with and assume that if it doesn't look like our way, it must be the wrong way. But God is not limited to one voice, one style, or one strategy. See, true maturity in leadership is knowing when to step back and allow successors the freedom to hear God for themselves, make their own decisions, and grow into the calling placed on their lives. If we hold the torch too tightly, we can never pass it to our successor. And I'm going to be real with you all today. I'm really afraid that we are going to lose so much because for various reasons, we just won't pass the torch to our children, to the second generation of our community, of our nation, even the second generation in other parts of the world. So what do? We work harder, right? We read the Bible, and when we read the Bible, we see that it's not about us. All those books, all those chapters, all those stories, all those judges, ministers, prophets work together for the kingdom. Can you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I love my neighbor, if you never cared to or never thought of? Can you say, I love my neighbor, if you don't leave a part of yourself?
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Kira Speed, a financial coach, helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
Jesus not only left us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he also left us with knowledge through parables. So what principles are you leaving? What information are you leaving so others can reflect on, not imitate? Joshua was not Moses. Joshua was Joshua. Different personality, different leadership style, different battles. Moses dealt with Pharaoh. Joshua dealt with cities with massive walls. Legacy does not mean cloning yourself. Legacy means equipping others to face a future you will never see. See, the problem our successors face will be different, maybe similar, but different. See, in the 90s, the biggest issue facing police was the crack epidemic. And in the early 2000s, it was terrorism. Now, one of the biggest issues police face are mass shootings. So imagine preparing and teaching your successor everything there is to know about abating drugs or the crack problem of the 90s. That successor would fail taking that approach and not making tweaks, not adapting in 2026. They would fail. I want to take a moment to talk about Paul and Timothy. So you can't talk about passing the torch without talking about Paul and Timothy. See, Paul repeatedly refers to Timothy as his true son in faith, and Paul disciple trained and shaped him in ministry. Paul doesn't just teach Timothy doctrine. He invites him into real ministry. There was a true relationship. See, his mentorship was through shared life, not classroom instruction alone. Paul trusted Timothy more than almost anyone else. Paul says, I have no one else like him. Their relationship is not cold. It's not strictly professional. Paul deeply loves Timothy. And this is a relationship marked by empathy, not domination. Paul corrects Timothy, but he never crushes him. He urges him to be bold. He reminds him of his calling. He affirms his gifts. He warns him about false teachers. This is super important. Paul does not demand blind obedience. He wants Timothy to mature into his own leader, faithful to Christ, not dependent on Paul. Paul prepares Timothy not just to follow, but to teach others, making certain that the faith continues beyond them both. Beyond them both. Paul writes to Timothy, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Did y'all hear what he said in this? This is four generations he's talking about in just one verse. Paul to Timothy, to reliable people, and to others. Spiritual economics. Paul understood that information without transfer dies. I'm going to tell you a quick story. There was an older man, no social media, no following, no platform, no title that you would say impressed people. And he worked the same job for decades, showed up for early for work, left late, rarely complained. But every day a young coworker would sit and listen. And instead of talking about sports or gossip, the older man told stories. Mistakes he made with money, regrets in marriage, how pride cost him opportunities, how humility restored relationships, how faith sustained him when nothing else worked. And years later, that young man became a leader. And when asked who shaped him, He didn't name a celebrity or a pastor. He thought of that man and so many others who God placed in his life over and over again. And he thought about that man who decided not to die with his wisdom. Legacy is often quiet, but is never insignificant. See, that young man was me, and an older coworker pulled me to the side at Dorothea Dix Hospital and decided to tell me what he knew. And when it came to finances, another older employee at the same hospital said to me, I see what you're doing. You're paying all your bills, but you have nothing left for yourself. Go to the bank, get them consolidated, and tear up those credit cards. And she said, if you get in debt after this, there's no turning back. See, what I do is what I owe. So many people poured into me. How can I not pass on information to others? How can I not share what I've seen? I'm trying to do what's been done for me. And so let's all commit to this in 2026. We're going to give what's been given to us. We're going to share what's been shared to us. And we're going to further the ministry by ministering to others like others have ministered to us. Will you commit? Let's be honest. People don't fail to pass the torch because they're evil. They fail because of fear. Fear of becoming irrelevant, fear of being surpassed, fear of being forgotten, fear that their sacrifices won't be honored. But scripture reminds us, one generation commends your works to another. Your value is not erased by someone else's growth. It's confirmed. Jesus only ministers publicly for about 3 years, 30 years of preparation, 3 years of execution. And then he leaves. He doesn't write a book. He doesn't establish a headquarters. He doesn't appoint a CEO. He invests in people. And before ascending, he says, you will do even greater works than these. See, Jesus was not threatened by succession. He designed for it. We have an obligation to build others up, letting people see how you think, not just what you do. Building others means sharing failures, not just victories, not just all the good things. Building others means correcting with patience, not ego, giving access, not just instruction. The righteous choose their friends carefully. Who are you choosing carefully? Because when we don't pass the torch, organizations collapse. When founders leave, that cycle continues. Communities lose momentum. So much is lost. The Bible calls this a folly. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 20:18. So if God were to call you home tomorrow, what wisdom dies with you? What lessons go unspoken? Who is less prepared because you stay silent? Make your New Year's resolution. Define the history. That's the invitation. And I challenge you today to identify someone younger, not perfect, just teachable. Invite them into your proximity. Let them watch decision making. Explain the why, not just the what. Release control gradually, not all at once, not never. Bless them publicly like Moses did Joshua. 5 years ago, I stepped away from leadership for a brief moment. Yeah, maybe 2 years. And it was great. No lie. It really felt good to only worry about myself. But God said, it's not your decision. It's not your decision. And that's what I'm telling you now. It's not your decision. We have to leave something. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. An inheritance, we're not just talking about money. It's wisdom, discernment, it's faith, it's character. So I challenge you today, do not die fool. Do not take your hard-earned wisdom to the grave. Do not let your pain be wasted. Do not let your experience evaporate. Pass the torch, tell the story, teach the lesson. Build the next generation. Because long after your name is forgotten, what you poured into others will still be alive. Amen. Lord, give us the humility to teach, the courage to release, and the wisdom to invest in others. May we not seek to be remembered, but to be fruitful beyond our lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's the unknown, unknown. It's the unknown, unknown creature.